You know, I used to be a truck driver, and I think God let me become a truck driver to teach me something about His grace, mercy, salvation. I was working on a freight. I was a young man at the time, and I was working on the freight dock. And they said, "We want you to be a driver." And I said, "Well, I don't have a license. I've never driven before, and you know, kind of thing." They said, "Don't worry, we can take care of that." And I thought, "Okay." And they said, "Go down in California. It's not the DPS. It's the DMV, Department of Motor Vehicles. Go down to the Department of Motor Vehicles. Give them your license and give them this number." So I went down there, and I gave my license. And I gave them this number, and they said, "Well, I gave them the number." And they said, "Can we have your driver's license?" I thought, uh-oh. And I gave my driver's license. I took my driver's license. I took this stamp, and they went. And it said, "Class 1 certified." That means I can drive any vehicle that could be driven on the road. Never, never in my life driven anything other than a car and a pickup truck, okay, a van. Stamped the thing. So now I'm certified. I can legally drive on the highway. Never done it before. God, I don't know. I don't know how this is working, but this people pay a lot of money for that stamp. It didn't cost me. It's a free gift, okay? And then I continued to work, and finally they called me up. They called me up on a Wednesday, and I had let my previous employer know that I was planning on leaving as soon as they contacted me. He said, "That's fine." They called me up on a Wednesday. They said, "We want you to start Monday." I said, "Well, I still haven't driven." They said, "Well, don't worry about it. We're going to have a driver supervisor come down here and test you." I said, "What's he going to test me at? I've never driven." Now, I'd driven around the terminal a couple times, you know, played like I was a train driving around. That's all I'd done. Well, this inspector gets in the truck with me, and we take off. We're leaving the terminal. This is the first time I've ever driven a big tractor trailer out in the rig. And the inspector says this to me. He says, "Are you familiar with this neighborhood?" I said, "No, not at all." He said, "Okay, then just make right turns. It'll probably take us right back to where we're going." I said, "Okay." I made a right turn. 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 And I made another right turn back into the terminal. He said, "You did a great job." Now, one of the guys told me this. They said, "When the driver inspector inspects you, make sure you drive the vehicle forward as far as you can, because he will make you back up." Okay, and backing up's the hardest part when you're driving. So I did that. I pulled forward as far as I could. He said, "Would you back it up now?" And I said, "Sure, no problem." I put it in reverse. I never moved the steering wheel. I just backed up straight. And he said, "Great job. Wonderful. Yep. Stamp. You're good to go." It was like God's way of saying, I'll train you. I'll take care of you. Do you know my first day, my very first day driving out in the road, I remember getting in that big rig, getting on the freeway, and I thought, how do you keep this thing in one lane? I can't even see the line down there. How am I supposed to know where I'm going? I could only see the line through the mirror. And so I'd look and go, I'm getting a little bit out of the lane there and stuff. And I watched some of the other guys. They could drive and drink a Coke at the same time. I thought, God, I'd like to develop to that level where I could keep it in the lane, drink a Coke, and drive at the same time. That would be wonderful, Lord. Well, that was God's way of showing me, just come as you are, I'll take care of it. So next time there's a truck out there, you get out of their way. They don't like you driving close to them anyway, so just stay away. But that's the way it was for me. And that's what salvation's like. Here it is. Here it is. But I don't deserve it. Do you have a driver's license? Well, yes, here. Saved. No way. You got to be kidding me. Yes, we've taken you in. We've taken you in. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. We'll equip. We'll enable. We'll qualify. And how does he do that? Well, he mentions it in verses, the middle there, verse 5 through 7. He says, this is how it works. We'll save you, and then this is what we'll do. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how the Holy Spirit comes into our life. He pours it out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in verse 7 of Ephesians 3, that having been justified by grace, that's saved, justified by grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Okay? What is he doing? He's washing and regenerating and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Remember I said he's repeating himself, because back in Ephesians or in Titus 2:14, he said, Jesus who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, that save us, okay, and purify for himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. Now, purification is like, it's like a washing. It's like a cleansing. It's a washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit, a purifying, washing, whatever you want to call it. There is a cleansing that has to take place. That's why the good news of Jesus Christ is come as you are. Come as you are. Hey, there's no work you can do to get saved. There's no deed you can do to deserve to be saved. So don't be the person that gets fooled into thinking, well, I'll clean my life up first and then I'm going to come to God. You can't clean your life up first. Only God can clean your life up, and therefore we need to come to God to allow God to cleanse us. I was once told that salvation is like asking Jesus to come into your heart, and your heart is like your home, and Jesus comes in. You know, in the book of Revelation, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door and invite me in, I will come in and sup with him." Okay, so our heart is like a home, and he comes in. When Jesus comes into this home, he goes, "Oh, we're going to have to take some of this stuff out. The home of our heart." He comes in, he says, "That couch has got to go. No person in their right mind would sit in that couch. It's out of here. Ooh, the carpet is a totally different color under the couch. I guess the carpet is going to have to go too." And most of us, probably every one of us, do this. Just some will admit to it, some won't. We have closets in our heart that we haven't given him yet. But Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, is the hound of heaven. And when he comes into your heart, he goes, "What is that?" And there's a closet in our heart. And he says, "I want the closet." And we go, "Lord, I'm going to take care of that closet. I was going to clean that closet before you saw it." And he says, "I want to clean it with you. I want everything to be open and honest between us and not ashamed. Lord, I don't know about that closet. There's a foul odor coming out of that closet. I think something died in there. We need to open it up." And so Jesus wants to come in and clean us completely out. Make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. "Behold, old things are passed away. All things become new," is what the Bible tells us. And so the idea here of being cleansed is absolutely important for the Christian. Do you remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet? It was kind of an interesting thing that he did, wasn't it? It's not mentioned in all the Gospels. We never read it again as we go into the book of Acts or any of the epistles. I think Jesus was symbolizing something there. And he starts washing the disciples' feet. Well, for a slave to be given the position of foot washer, that was the lowest position you could have in a household as a slave. So to have Jesus wash your feet after you've been with him for 3 years, seeing the power of God flow through his life in such incredible, miraculous ways, don't you think you'd feel kind of awkward having him wash your feet? And Peter, of course, just couldn't sit still and let it happen. And so Peter jumps in there and he goes, "No way, you're not washing my feet." The problem with Peter, and there's a lot of personality types like Peter. I'm even that way sometimes. I know that's hard to believe, but it is true. You jump in and say things that you shouldn't say sometimes. Look at what Peter said to him. In John 13:8, Peter said, "You will never wash my feet." Now, do you think that's a very smart thing to say to God? Do you think you should ever say never to God? I mean, he's the one that holds all eternity, and never? I mean, I'm surprised Jesus didn't go, "Never, Peter? Never? Do you have the authority to say never, Peter?" But he doesn't. Jesus responds in such a better way. He's so good. Jesus answered him and said, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me." That kind of nips never right in the bud, doesn't it? What? But then, you know, Peter's response, you can read it on your own. Then Peter says, "Then wash my whole body." And Jesus says, "No, I'm going to wash your feet. That's it." You have to be cleansed or you don't have any part with him. This cleansing needs to take place. And this is not a New Testament principle only. This has been going on since the beginning of the human race falling away from God. And all the way back in the book of Isaiah, God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. And he says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet." Have you ever felt like that? "I'm stained. I can't erase what I've done." No, you can't, nor can any person. But God can. "Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be made white as snow." That means like they never existed in the first place. "Though they be red like crimson, they shall be made as wool." That was the promise of God all the way back in the Old Testament. "Just come and talk to me. Come on, let's reason together. Here we are at this closet. Let's open the door. Let's clean this closet." "Oh no, Lord, I don't know if I don't want you to see those things." Jesus at that point could say, "I saw you put them in there. I saw what they are. I already know. I just need you to come clean with them. That's all. Because as we come clean before God, then God can cleanse those things. That's why as we move into the New Testament, we are told in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, if you come clean before God, then God is faithful and just to forgive you. Does he stop there? Absolutely not. He forgives and he cleanses us of all unrighteousness. White as snow, just like wool, completely cleansed. This cleansing or washing that he's speaking of in Titus is by regeneration, our renewing of the Holy Spirit. See, the same thing's being said. He's just using different words. Regeneration actually means new birth, reproduction, recreation. God wants you to become a Christian. He wants you to become a born-again Christian so you can start producing for him. You'll know them by the fruit that comes out of your life. God wants us to be reproducers. Well, Lord, I don't know how to reproduce. I'm not qualified. That's okay. Come as you are. I'll cleanse you. I'll attach you to me. And the byproduct of being attached to me will be you will be a reproducer. It's incredible what God's doing. Renewing is the other word that's used there. Renewing, a renewal, obviously. Renovation, complete change for the better. Have you ever renovated? Have you ever had your house renovated? Have you ever done anything to your house? If you've never had it done, let me give you a couple tidbits. Okay? One, if they renovate your house, close it off with plastic so the intake to your air conditioning duct cannot suck the dust in. Because if it does, there's no end to the cleansing. God wants to renovate the house that's in our heart. God comes in the house and says, this is not a very good floor plan. I think we need to take that wall out. Can you do that? I'm God. I can do anything. We had a house one time, and I can't remember what color it was, but the kitchen counter was this ugly kind of brownish yellow. And it was real old. And we bought this house, and Denise said, Rick, that counter is disgusting to me. And I thought, so what, you know? She said, no. You know what? The color of this counter reminds me. Now, you got to get ready for this. Reminds me of the kids' diarrhea when they were babies. And that was a good description for me. It really was. And I thought, ooh, yeah, I can understand why you don't want to cut food on it and lay food. If that's the thought that comes to your mind. So out went the kitchen counter. Yanked that puppy out of there. And the worst part about it, then I had to replace sink and faucet and all kinds of other stuff too. But, oh, that thing had to go out because of what it needed to be renovated, needed to be updated, needed to be cleansed. When you renovate, you need to be cleaning constantly. You've never done it. You need to do it sometime because you would see what I'm talking about. I'm helping someone right now, and we had to jackhammer the floor up a little bit. Well, have you ever seen cement dust? It just, that thing was a lot of fun though. All over the place, but dust everywhere. All over the place. You couldn't walk, and there's dust, and there's insulation from the ceiling. It's stuck on you. It's all over the place. It's horrible. And finally, the homeowners were gone, and I said, I've had enough of the dust. So I went out in the backyard, and I put the nozzle on the hose. I pushed the screen out of the window, and I pulled the hose through the window. Don't do this when the homeowner's home. They kind of frown on it. But I went inside this room, and I took the hose inside the house. I went, hey, this is kind of nice. I blasted it all. Now, it was jackhammered out, the floor, so all the dust went down kind of the drain, basically. But it completely cleansed all the dust out. And I thought, that's the way God is with us. Hey, that's wonderful that you're here. We need to wash you and make you new. Why? Because we want you to be renovated. We want you to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that's why the cleansing has to take place. He uses the word generation. Think of a generator. You know, a generator that generates usually power. It has bearings in it and has a spindle in it. And if it sat for a long period of time, it would have to be cleansed. It would have to be washed and made new. And if you cover it with the abundance of oil cleansing solution, we have an abundant outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and you cover it, and then you plug it in to use it for its purpose, all of a sudden it fires up and it's clean. There are so many illustrations I can give you, and you need, when you're cleaning something, you need to think, this is what God was talking about. He's washing us. and making us new. And our house, probably your house has this too. We have one of those Vinahood things over the stove. You know, you turn a little fan on, and they don't seem to work that great usually. But you know they're doing something if you ever look at the filter that's up there. Have you ever looked at those little metal filters? It's like, whoa, I don't know if you're supposed to touch that thing with human hands. Well, if you take one of those filters, you need to do this sometime. This would be good for everybody. Good object lesson. You take that filter out, the metal ones only. You take it out and you buy yourself a can of engine degreaser. You can buy it at the parts store. Most women have this under the sink, I'm sure. You know, engine degreaser. You go lay this thing out on your driveway and you spray engine degreaser on it, okay? And then just let it set. Whatever's in engine degreaser likes grease. It's like, you just see, you look at it and you go, it's like something's happening here. And then you take your garden hose, you put a nozzle on it, and you spray that thing off. And that's what it's like to be cleansed and made. That thing looks brand spanking new when you pick it up. It is completely cleansed. All the grease is completely gone. You don't have to go to the store and buy one. See, most people go to the store and buy a new one because it's so filthy cruddy they don't want to touch it. They turn the little thing and they grab it with a paper towel and they hold it away like it's alive and they throw it down. No, you don't have to do that. You just cleanse that thing out because God wouldn't do us. Could you imagine God taking us and going, oh, where's the trash can? No, that's not what he does. He says, oh, let's clean this. Let's make it new. And if you do that, you'll look at that thing. It looks like it's brand new. Well, basically it is. Nothing's happened to it to damage it. It's just been sucking in dirt and grease, and it just needs to be cleansed off. Our spiritual bodies get dirty, get greasy, get slimy sometimes. God simply wants to clean them off. That's what this section of Scripture is all about. And how does he do it? This cleansing is done, look at what it says, by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit often is represented by oil in the Old Testament. It's like an outpouring of oil that just completely cleanses us so that, look at what it says, so that we could be justified by grace. And you know that word justified, when coupled together with God's grace, could be translated just as though I never did it. God wants to take your sins, and nobody else can do this. God wants to take your sins and make them just as though you never did them. Though they be red like crimson, they be made white as snow or white as wool. How, whatever white you want to look at. I'll completely cleanse them and wash them away. And so, obviously, the cleansing has to take place. God wants us to experience salvation. Come on in. Just going to stamp that. You're not qualified. None of us are qualified. You don't deserve this. None of us deserve it. It's an extension of God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, God's forgiveness. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's God's will that all people should be saved. It's God's will that none should perish and all should have everlasting life. That's God's heart. The extension is to all people. Whether all people will receive God's plan of salvation or not is a whole nother story. But I would hope this morning everybody here, you would say, man, I want to make sure I'm saved. I definitely want to receive God's plan of salvation. You mean all I have to do is respond to what Jesus Christ has already done? Yes. That's all a person has to do. But understand, there then will be a process of purification. We call it sometimes sanctification. You're set apart for God's purpose. There is this purifying cleansing that needs to take place. And then where does that put us? Well, look at what it says there. The latter part, we become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We get to that point to where I'm an heir. I'm just hoping in spending eternity with God. I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived. I press towards the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus concerning me, but that's where our hope is. And so we've got those two things that we've worked with. Well, Paul one more time puts an emphasis on good works. We've got sanctification and we've got purification happening, but he didn't stop there. Look at verse 8. He said, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. In other words, you keep telling people they need to get saved. You keep telling people they need to be purified. You keep pressing this point that those who have believed in God should also, what? Look at there, be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. In other words, affirm constantly tell them and retell them and tell them and retell them. Just, you may have to say it in different ways sometimes, but continue to tell them and retell them what? It's what he's already told us, really. One, Jesus gave himself for salvation. And anyone, all people, anyone that wants to be saved can be saved by accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But once that happens, there is a process of purification that takes place inside the believer's life. They have to allow God into their life, or we'll say the Holy Spirit into their life, to cleanse them and wash them, to teach them and train them, to make them new creatures in Christ Jesus. Why? Why is that this necessary? Because we need to occupy until he comes. There is salvation, purification, and occupation. There's a job to be done until Jesus returns. In Luke 19:13, Jesus is talking about a parable of stewards and things that they're doing. He concluded saying this, "Occupy till I come." Depending upon which version of the Bible you have, some say, "Do business until I return." The idea is we are supposed to be occupying for our Lord. Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount said, "Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works." They see it. And what do? They glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, it's not what I say that means I'm a Christian. I should testify with my mouth. But it's not the words that come out of my mouth that really counts. It's the life that I'm living. It's the work that I'm doing. And no matter where we are, whether you're a husband, whether you're a wife, whether you're a mother, whether you're a father, whether you're an employee, whether you're an employer, the Bible hits every one of them and is telling every one of them to let your light so shine before men, before others, before women. They'll see your good works and they'll glorify your Father who is in heaven. James, by the time the book of James was written, okay, Christianity had kind of already been going on, and there were people kind of playing with it a little bit. And so James, boy, he just nipped it right in the bud. And look at what he said about faith. James 2:17 says, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." In other words, that's not faith. It's not faith. If our faith in God does not produce purification and occupation, it's not faith. That's what your Bible says. There's a lot of people preaching today that don't say that, but that's what our Bible tells us. Faith by itself is not biblical faith. It's just I'm believing in something. But it's not biblical faith, because biblical faith is going to produce good works in our life. And the Bible tells us over and over and over again that those good works are supposed to be manifested in our life so others see them, and basically it attracts them to God. "Let your light so shine before men and women that they see your good works, glorify your Father who is in heaven." That's what Christianity is all about. It's my life bringing glory to God. And it's the we'll say, the works that are taking place in my life that are going to bring glory to God. So whatever your situation is today, maybe salvation's your situation. You need to get saved. You need to get your life right with God. You need to get connected to God through Jesus Christ. Maybe you would say, "No, Pastor, that's not my case. I know I'm saved. Covered that one." Well, then maybe purification is the issue that God's dealing with. You need to let God cleanse you. You need to open the doors to some of those closets in your life and say, "Okay, God, take me. I want my life to be all about you." And maybe some of you would say, "I've done that." Well, then it's time to occupy until he comes. It's time to take your life wherever you are and say, "God, use me as your instrument and tool. Use me as a father. Use me as a mother. Use me as an employee. Use me as an employer." Whatever your situation is, God, use me. And Lord, if there's anything else that you would have me to do, then Father, I'm making myself available to be used. Because someday, listen, someday, only thing that's going to matter in this entire life is what we did and did not do for Jesus Christ. Nothing else will make any difference. We get one shot in this life to live it for God or not. Let's live our lives for God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the powerful truths that are written in it. And Lord, I pray right now that as we come to this place in our service where we just kind of sing to you again, refocus on you, Father, that we would honestly examine our own hearts. And if as you do that this morning, God touches your heart Maybe it's about salvation. Maybe it's about purification. Maybe it's about occupation. But God touches your heart. I would encourage you, challenge you, come forward and let the prayer counselors pray for you. Take that step of faith that says, God, I want to do this your way, according to your word. Father, thank you for affirming and reaffirming and telling us over and over.